The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 13. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on December 9th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ato Mahabhaga Bhavan Amogadrik Shuchi Shrava Satyavrata Dhritavrata Urukramashya Akila Bandha Muktaye Samadina Anusmara Tat Pacheshtitam Ato Mahabhaga Bhavan Amogadrik Suchi Shrava Satcharato Dhritavrata
Suchi Shrava Satcharato Dhritavrata
Rukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye
Rukramasya Kila Bandha Muktaye
Samadhina Nasvaras Tadvicheshtitam
Samadhina Nasvara Tadvicheshtitam
Ato Mahabhaga Bhavan Amogadrik
Ato Mahabhaga Bhavan Amogadrik
Suchi Shrava Satyavrato Dhritavrata
Suchi Shrava Satyavrato Dhritavrata
Rukramas Yakila Bandha Muktaye
Rukramas Yakila Bandha Muktaye
Samadhina Nanusmara Chateshchate Let me try it again, wait, I blew it, let me try it. Samadhina Nanusmara Tadvicheshtitam
Samadhina Nanusmara Tadvicheshtitam
Ato Therefore, Mahabhaga, highly fortunate, Bhavan, yourself, Amogadrik,
the perfect seer,
Shuchi, spotless, Shrava, famous, Satyavrata, having taken the vow of truthfulness, Dhritavrata, fixed in spiritual qualities, Urukramasya, of the one who performs supernatural activities, God, Akila, universal, Bandha, bondage, Muktaye, for liberation from Samadhina, by trance, Anusmara. Think repeatedly and then describe them. Tat Vicheshtitam, various pastimes of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fortune is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Purport. People in general have a taste for literatures by instinct. They want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown, but their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. Such literatures contain different kinds of mundane poems and philosophical speculations, more or less under the influence of Maya, ending in sense gratification. These literatures, although worthless in the true sense of the term, are variously decorated to attract the attention of the less intelligent men. Thus, the attracted living entities are more and more entangled in material bondage without hope of liberation for thousands and thousands of generations. Sri Narada Rishi, being the best amongst the Vaishnavas, is compassionate towards such unfortunate victims of worthless literatures. And thus he advises Sri Vyasadeva to compose transcendental literature which is not only attractive, but can also actually bring liberation from all kinds of bondage. Srila Vyasadeva or his representatives are qualified because they are rightly trained to see things in true perspective. Srila Vyasadeva and his representatives are pure in thought due to their spiritual enlightenment, fixed in their vows due to their devotional service, and determined to deliver the fallen souls rotting in material activities. The fallen souls are very eager to receive novel informations every day, and the transcendentalists like Vyasadeva or Narada can supply such eager people in general with unlimited news from the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the material world is only a part of the whole creation, and that this earth is only a fragment of the whole material world. There are thousands and thousands of literary men all over the world, and they have created many, many thousands of literary works for the information of the people in general for thousands and thousands of years. Unfortunately, none of them have brought peace and tranquility on the earth. This is due to a spiritual vacuum in those literatures. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, especially the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. The Bhagavad Gita is the spoken message of the Lord Himself, recorded by Vyasadeva, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental narration of the activities of the same Lord Krishna, which alone can satisfy the hankering desires of a living being for eternal peace and liberation from miseries. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is meant for all the living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. Such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls like Vyasadeva and his bona fide representatives who are completely merged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Only to such devotees do the pastimes of the Lord and their transcendental nature become automatically manifest by dint of devotional service. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord, even if they speculate on the subject for many, many years. The descriptions of the Bhagavatam are so precise and accurate that whatever has been predicted in this great literature about 5,000 years ago is now exactly happening. Therefore, the vision of the author comprehends past, present, and future. Such liberated persons as Vyasadeva are perfect not only by the power of vision and wisdom, but also in aural reception, in thinking, feeling, and all other sense activities. A liberated person possesses perfect senses, and with perfect senses only can one serve the sense proprietor, Rishikesha, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the perfect description of the all-perfect personality of Godhead, by the all-perfect personality Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sivishakan Vitamsha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pashtak Yadeshatarine. So, one time a politician came to Mayapur to meet with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. At that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was publishing a daily newspaper called Navadvip Prakash, everyday newspaper. So the politician said, how is it possible to publish a daily newspaper about spiritual activities? I mean, there's not, how much can you say about God? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained that the spiritual world is actually the 3/4 portion of the creation of the Lord, and the material world is only 1/4 portion. In the material world, there are so many planets, and there are so many, and this one planet is the Earth planet, and the Earth planet, there are so many countries, and there, in India is one country, and in India there are so many cities, and one city is called Calcutta, and there are so many newspapers in Calcutta, daily newspapers. So if even that little tiny insignificant speck of a 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 speck can be daily newspapers, and what does speak of the vast unlimited spiritual sky? He said, actually, therefore, we can produce a newspaper at every minute. There's so much transcendental news, every minute we can produce a newspaper, you see. So this way the politician was enlightened by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. At the present moment, the world is entangled in so many mundane literatures. If you go to the, everywhere you go, you know, it's like we go through the airports, there's the bookstores, and the passengers, they go in there, they buy a book so they can read on the airplane. And there's just so many mundane books. Hundreds and thousands of millions of books are out there, and they're all just garbage. They're simply garbage. They're very nicely decorated, nice illustrations, nice binding, everything first class, you see. But the subject matter is the subject matter fit for crows. Because there's no glorification of the Lord, you see. The swan, this is the swan literature. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, especially Brahma Samhita. So these are the literature for the swan-like class of men. One may think, well, there's only, I mean, it's only one book. I mean, how you can just spend your whole life reading one book, Bhagavad Gita? I mean, don't you get bored? I mean, I got to read a new book at least every month, at least a new book. I can't read the same book again and again and again and again and again. That'd be crazy. That's what they think. How you can read the same book again and again and again? But Prabhupada told us, even if you study the same verse again and again and again and again, from that verse you will get new light. With every reading, new lights will come out. You see? So how is it? What is this phenomenon that makes these books different? What is the science behind this difference, you see, between these literatures? The science is that these books are non-different from Krishna. These transcendental literatures, they are every word is non-different from Krishna, you see. Every word of Bhagavad Gita is non-different from Krishna. Every word of Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Every word of Brahma Samhita is non-different from Krishna. And what is Krishna's position? Navayovanam. He's an ever-fresh youth. In fact, Krishna, becoming, not only is he ever-fresh, but he's becoming ever more fresh at every minute, you see. He's become sweeter, 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 sweeter. So you can read one verse a million times, and with each reading, that verse gets sweeter, becomes more nectarian, more juicy, more rasa-ish, if we can coin that term, you see. Every single reading, you see. It's like we chant the same mantra over and over, isn't it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Same thing over and over again. For millions of times we're saying the same exact thing. People say, don't you get Hare Krishna's get bored? I mean, can't you sing a few other songs every now and then? Sing a few Beatle tunes or something, you know. Why do you have to sing Hare Krishna? The thing is, this is different. This is completely different. I mean, even the Beatles enjoyed chanting Hare Krishna. They went on for hours and hours singing with great relish in the Greek islands. They were going on a cruise to the Greek islands singing Hare Krishna for hours and hours and hours they went on. So this is a very different thing. Because this Hare Krishna mantra and these literatures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these literatures bring you into direct contact with Krishna. And Krishna is not impersonal. He's not some energy. He's not a lump. Krishna is the most beautiful, dynamic, powerful, intriguing person who has unlimited qualities, unlimited characteristics, unlimited names, unlimited pastimes, unlimited varieties of mellows, experienceable in his association. So anything that brings you into touch with Krishna is extraordinary, and it never becomes hackneyed, it never becomes old, never becomes worn out, never becomes dry, never becomes old hat, as we say in America. It never gets exhausted, you see. Krishna is an inexhaustible reservoir of pleasure. You see, he's a fountainhead of inexhaustible nectar. And that nectar is ever sweet, ever various, ever variegated. It's not the same old thing. It's ever sweet, ever more relishable. It's the greatest adventure. And the most exciting adventure is to connect with Krishna. Krishna is the source of adventure and excitement. So when you connect with Krishna, there's nothing more exciting, nothing more adventurous, and it becomes more and more exciting and more adventurous the deeper you go into your relationship with Krishna. So the Bhagavatam is a wonderful entry point. It's a doorway. The Bhagavatam Dvara, you see, the door of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a portal, it's a doorway, it's an access into the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, into the transcendental teachings of Krishna, the transcendental abode of Krishna. Just imagine, you know, it's like that. You open this book up and the whole spiritual world is right here. And you can take, if you go deep into these teachings, you actually enter into the spiritual world. Show me any other, besides these literatures, these other books, they just keep you in the material world. That's all they do. They keep you in the material world, you see. These books take you, they're like airplanes. Vimana, Shastra Vimana, that carry you into the transcendental abode of Krishna. So if one will understand the potency and the power of these books and read these books as much as possible, 24 hours a day. Prabhupada actually told us, he said you should study 24 hours a day. And you should also do service 24 hours a day. So I may say, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. How I can serve 24 hours a day and I can read your books 24 hours a day? How can I do that, Prabhupada? But actually, it is possible. I figured it out. Here's how you do it. Now, any course that you take, like a science course, chemistry, for example, you have the lecture course, lecture section of the course, then you have the laboratory section of the course, where you go and you actually apply what you heard in the lecture. And then you see how, yes, it is a fact, I heard in the lecture that H2O equals water, so now I'm going to the lab, and lo and behold, I did it. I combined two parts hydrogen with one part of oxygen, and what did I get in my test tube? I got water in my test tube. Wow. I was a high school kid. I remember that moment, like one of those eureka moments. Wow, I got water in my test tube. It's really true. H2O equals water, you see. So the laboratory is part of your study. When you actually apply what you heard in the lecture and see the result, it confirms what you read or heard, and that is part of your studies. So the practical devotional service is a laboratory of the science of bhakti. You see? We read that if you serve Krishna, you taste transcendental ecstasy. If you serve without any material motives, then you experience transcendental bliss. So then we're asked to clean the toilet. So okay, let me do it without any motive of name and profit, adoration and distinction. I'm going to clean the toilet for Prabhupada without any motives, just for Prabhupada's pleasure, Krishna's pleasure. I'll clean the toilet. And lo and behold, what is the result? You come out of that toilet room in a state of transcendental bliss. Ah, ecstasy. I clean the toilet for Prabhupada, you see. So that was the laboratory. You heard in the lecture that if you serve without any motive, you chase transcendental bliss. So then after the class, the temple president asked you to clean the toilet room. All the stool and urine smeared everywhere. Muchi, horrible. Then you went in, it was muchi, you came out, it was suchi, you see. You turned the muchi into suchi. So in this way, the practical service is the laboratory portion of the study. So in this way you can study and serve 24 hours a day. So don't do your service with your head up in the clouds. Do your service with the vision of Shastra. That's the point. Maintain Shastra Chakshus, or spiritual vision, when you're doing your service. Vishnu Dhammaraj used to say, why should meditate? Why am I putting on my dhoti in the morning? I'm doing it to please Prabhupada, you see. Prabhupada very much liked to see us wear the dhotis. He didn't tell us to wear dhotis, actually, in the beginning. But when Godbrother Kirtanananda, he was inspired, he put on a dhoti, and Prabhupada was very pleased. And then he actually showed the devotees how to put on dhoti. He actually, Hayagriva, he personally put Hayagriva's dhoti on. He tied it on Hayagriva's body to show him how to put on a dhoti. So Prabhupada very much liked this Vaishnava dress, you see. He encouraged us to wear dhotis and saris. So when we're putting on our dhoti or our sari, we can think, this is, we want to please Prabhupada, you see. So in this way, we do everything with knowledge, not just blindly doing things. Well, I'm supposed to do this, I don't know why, but everybody does it, so I'm doing it. No. Why am I putting on tea light? Why am I putting on a dhoti? Why am I becoming a devotee? And we should understand everything. Do it, act with knowledge, and the knowledge is here in the books. So study the books, understand the science of bhakti, and then apply it according to the laboratory manual, which is the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. These are our laboratory manuals, the entry-level laboratory manual and the advanced-level laboratory manual. By applying these things very nicely in the service of the Lord, then we realize the purport of the Bhagavatam, and we can actually live in the Bhagavatam. Why is the spiritual master called the person Bhagavatam? Because the spiritual master is a living embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw this in Prabhupada. It was amazing. He was a walking, talking Bhagavatam. Every gesture, every subtle aspect of his thoughts, his words, and his deeds was just, he was living Bhagavatam wherever he went. Every word that came out of his mouth, everything he did was Bhagavatam. So, Prabhupada wants us all to become like this, completely immersed in this Bhagavad Dharma culture, Krishna consciousness, to where everything we're doing, you see, is connecting with Krishna. Everything we're doing is perfectly representing Krishna. You see, this is what Prabhupada wants. So we read these books, so wonderfully explained by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. We distribute these books as much as we can. We meditate on these books. We try to become living in expansions of these books, you see. Then we'll be living in Goloka Vrindavan at every minute. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Okay. What was God doing during the creation? He was having some pastimes at Radharani. Huh? He was enjoying with Radharani. He didn't mess around. He has his expansion to do all this. Krishna doesn't have to interrupt his pastimes of Radharani to worry about the creation. He just goes on enjoying with Radharani. And his expanded, he has Mahavishnu do that kind of, do the creation work. Mahavishnu. There's so many books published by ISKCON. Should you read all the books or just Srila Prabhupada's books? You should read all the Prabhupada's books and as many as the other, and the other books as well, but especially Prabhupada's books. The other books encourage you to read Prabhupada's books. Our curriculum is Prabhupada's books, and the other books are extracurricular. It's like when I was in high school, we had our curricular activities and our extracurricular activities. You have to focus on the curricular activities, but the extracurricular enhance the curricular. So the most important thing is read all the Prabhupada's books, you see. Don't leave Prabhupada's books aside and just read the other books. That's not right. Read Prabhupada's books first. That's the policy that we should follow. How can we feel the presence of Krishna while chanting? First of all, you have to have faith that Krishna is present. And then you have to treat the holy name as if the holy name is Krishna. Why? Because the holy name is Krishna. Treat the holy name as if the holy name is Krishna, and you will feel Krishna in due course. Why is the worship of Radha Krishna of a very high standard, unlike the worship of Gaura Nithai? Because Gaura Nithai don't take any offenses. It's even described that even sleeping in Mayapur is considered offering obeisances. That's how merciful Gaura Nithai is. But don't take advantage of it when you go to Mayapur, just sleeping all day. Don't take advantage of it. You have stated that everything related to Krishna is extraordinary. To me, you are extraordinary. Well, I don't know about that, but I admire you. Well, now I'm getting going to blush here in a minute. How do you really usually react when you're subject to so much glorification? I just read a wonderful, as I was coming, after I read this wonderful, coming back from the farm yesterday, I relished this like anything. And then I had also had my iPad with me, and I read, after I finished relishing this, I read something else as well, a wonderful article by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describing how he viewed his taking up the position of being a spiritual master. It was very humble, actually. He said, what beast is sitting here, who has escaped from the zoo, is sitting here on the Vyasa Sun, pompously accepting all of his glorification? What kind of beast is this? Has come out of the zoo? He was talking that about himself. But then he said, but I have to do this. I'm just paraphrasing, but it's a, some of you may have read this. It's an amazing article by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. But he basically was saying, I have to do this. It's because my guru has ordered me to do this. That's all. If I don't do it, I'm disobeying my spiritual. If I don't take up this position of guru, then it's an offense. I'm disobeying my spiritual master. That was the gist of his article. So all I can say is when I'm in glorified, I'm thinking, well, what kind of beast has escaped from the zoo, sitting here on the Vyasasan, taking all this glorification? But what can I do? It's the order of my spiritual master to. Yeah, he told us in Los Angeles, he said, become guru and deliver the world. What can I say? It's my duty to become a spiritual master. I have no choice. If I don't do it, I'm an offender against my spiritual master. So I feel completely unqualified, completely unworthy. I feel myself to be an abominable snake in the grass, you know. The lowest of the stool. That's how I feel about myself. I'm just complete nonsense jerk. But I'm doing this on the order of my spiritual master. That's all. I have to serve his order. What can I do? Milk touched by the lips of a serpent becomes poison. What are the consequences if non-devotees read the Bhagavatam? Can it be dangerous? This is not touched by the lips of a serpent. If they speak the Bhagavatam, that's another thing. You don't want to hear the Jai Shri Shri Radha Gaurakunda. You don't want to hear the Bhagavatam from the non-devotees. Then it becomes milk touched by the lips of the milk touched by the lips of a serpent. But if the serpent reads the Bhagavatam from the pure devotee, he becomes a pure devotee in due course. So we distribute books to everyone because the snake-like men will become paramahamsas in due course just by associating with Prabhupada's books. Nowadays there are so many seminars on AIDS. It is seen that it is no more a fatal disease. Please comment. It is all these, every disease in the material world is fatal because they're all based on the body. Any conception you have of bodily identification is fatal. So the whole world, it's centered around AIDS. Those who are suffering from it, those who are trying to cure it, etc., they are all locked into bodily concept of life. Therefore, the whole AIDS culture means fatality. Srila Vyasadeva could well instruct Maharaj Parikshit, but instead the task was given to Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva. Is it because Shukadeva Goswami was a better instructor? That's an interesting question, because actually Srila Vyasadeva was sitting there in the assembly. But so why was his son chosen as the spokesman? It's a very interesting question. Here is the Srila Vyasadeva who gave the same Srimad Bhagavatam knowledge to Sukadeva Goswami. And now his son, though, who received it from his father, the son is being selected as the speaker, not the father. That's a very interesting question, I have to admit, an extremely interesting question. In another similar phenomenon that occurred before they gathered there on the sacred bank was all those young girls bathing naked and in the river. And when Shukadeva Swami came by, they didn't bother to cover themselves up because they could see he was like a little baby. He doesn't see male or female. He's like a little baby, you see, in his consciousness. He's so pure and innocent. But as soon as Srila Vyasadeva came, they all ran and put their clothes on, you see, because he's playing the role of a householder. I don't know if that's connected, but it's kind of a similar thing. So to actually get to the answer to this, we could ask Krishna. Krishna knows the answer. Sometimes I would ask Prabhupada many different questions. Actually, many times I asked Prabhupada a lot of questions. And one time he gave me a very profound, of course it was always a profound answer, but one answer he gave me which really has had a big impact on my understanding of transcendental knowledge. He said, if you will simply engage with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day in the service of the Lord, Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. So I have to be honest, I don't have the answer for this question, but Krishna does. So now you just engage yourself with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, and then Krishna will come and answer your question. Why Shukadeva was asked to be the speaker and not Vyasadeva, who was also fully realized in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very interesting question. And when Krishna gives you the answer, let me know what he said. I'd like to know. Do you have the answer?
Huh? Sukadeva Goswami was more detached.
That's true, he was.
And Vyasadeva was attached.
From an external viewpoint, that's a fact. But can we say internally? Can we say that internally? Externally, it's true. But can we say that internally? That's my question. Internally.
Can I finish it? So all of them decided that because Sukadeva Goswami is more detached from all the material atmosphere, he should be more great personality to see.
Is that stated in the Bhagavatam?
Yes.
Very interesting. Thank you. Can you please give us some instructions for the Prabhupada book Miradhan month? This country is in great danger. Kali is the influence of Kali is increasing here more and more. And this country is in great danger because of that. They've just legalized abortion here. In America, you try to understand the subtle ramifications of legalized abortion. The government is saying, it's not open, but it's subtle. The government says it's okay to murder millions of babies. Okay? It's not immoral to murder billions of babies. The government is saying that in the U.S. by their practical activities. So what is the subtle ramification of that? It's okay to kill. Even mass killing is okay, and now it's very common in the U.S. Somebody goes to a movie theater, they start blowing away people. Somebody went to a school, Sandy Hook University, Sandy Hook Elementary School, they killed about 25 kids, murdered 25 children in the school last week. These are very commonly happening in the U.S. now. Since abortion was legalized in the U.S., now it's a subtle statement that killing people is okay. There's no harm, you know. But it's no big deal. Just go ahead and kill people. Take a gun and start shooting. And they go to shopping malls, they go to schools, they go to their workplace, and they shoot their boss and shoot their co-workers. Practically every 2 or 3 weeks it happens in the U.S. now. Very, very common thing since abortion was legalized just in the last year here in this country. Kali is entering, and Kali is getting his foot in the door and becoming more prominent in this country. So the only way we can fight Kali is a massive book distribution. Harinam is there, but even more powerful is book distribution. The only weapon we have for defeating Kali is massive book distribution. So if you want to save this country from going down the same degraded pathway where people start taking guns and shooting everybody, like is very common in the U.S. now, if you want to save this country, then you distribute these books like anything to everyone you can. Every home, every office, everybody walking up down the street, everybody should have one of Prabhupada's books. Take this very seriously. It's the only hope for this country. Otherwise, this country is doomed. Without massive distribution of Prabhupada's books, this country is finished. It's doomed. Just like all the other countries are going down the tubes, this country will go down the tubes unless you can mass distribute these books. Therefore, take this book distribution marathon as the most important thing to save your country. And everybody should distribute books as much as you can. All the time, but especially during this book distribution marathon. Take every opportunity to distribute books. Distribute book, distribute book, distribute book, Prabhupada told us. I just recently, actually it was last year, I met with one of our book distributors in the U.S., Rainatai Prabhu. This boy is so dedicated. He's not a Prabhupada disciple, he never met Prabhupada, but he's so dedicated to distributing Prabhupada's books. That's all he does. 7 days a week, He distributes Prabhupada's books from morning until night. That's all he does. And he said, I feel really guilty in the evening when I go back to the Sankirtan van. He doesn't even stay in it. He just sleeps in a van somewhere. He doesn't even have a fixed home. He sleeps in a van. When I go back to the van to take prasadam and take rest, I feel so guilty. How can I go take rest and take prasadam when so many people don't have Prabhupada's books? And he said, I just want to take birth after birth after birth until everybody has Prabhupada's books in this world. You see? So dedicated. So we can take lessons from these great stalwart book distributors. Their whole life is book distribution. He doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want to get entangled with anything. All he wants to do is distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Every minute, 24 hours a day, if he could, he'd be out there distributing books. Because he feels how Prabhupada is bestowing his mercy, how he feels how he's getting the unlimited blessings of Prabhupada with every, and not even if the book doesn't go out, just the endeavor to distribute them. So that's the necessity, and now here's a practical tip of how to be successful in book distribution. You don't have to be a great salesman. Let the books sell themselves. These books are all attractive. These books are Krishna. Our great Maharati of book distribution, Vaisheshika Prabhu, my god brother, he has a very good tip. He says, the more you show, the more you will sell. Just show them the book. That's all you got to do. My duty is to show these books to as many people as possible. Just don't think, well, I don't know how to sell. I'm not a salesman. I can't do this. Don't worry about it. Just go out and show the books. Let me show the book to as many people as possible, and the books will sell themselves. You don't have to be a bookseller. Just be a book shower. Show as many people these books as you possibly can, and they will sell automatically because these books are all attractive. Just show them the book. Show them the nice illustrations. Show them the wonderful books, you see. Where's the illustration? Oh, here they are. Yeah. Just show them these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful illustration, you see. My dear sir, this book is so wonderful. Just see how beautiful and wonderful this book is. Just glory. Prabhupada told me, I got a letter from Prabhupada one time. He said, if you describe these books in the best, with the best descriptive language, you can convince anybody to take a book, even an atheist. You simply describe them in the best descriptive language. He one time told a book distributor, here's your line for Sankirtan. And everybody said, what line can I use on Madan Sankirtan? Prabhupada said, here's your line you can use. What is it? How does it go? Well, how does it? This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. You just go up to them and say, my dear sir, this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. And it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. And those persons who have lost their vision to this dangerous age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. That's the line Prabhupada said to use that on Sankirtan. Aryabha Gita, use 9.2. You hear the Hanuman Gita, you say, Raja, said, this knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. Go ahead and memorize that verse so you can say it in any situation. Memorize it. You got it down pat. You know, rehearse 1,000 times so you can approach anybody. You can, in full confidence and smile on your face, you can put the book in their hand. You say, this knowledge is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and is joyfully performed, and now it is yours. Simply, we ask you to give a contribution to help cover the printing costs, sir. Try it. Have some fun. Go out and do that. Put the book in somebody's hand, recite the whole verse with full confidence and enthusiasm, and say, now the book is yours. We're just asking for a contribution to cover the printing costs. Have the book in their hand. Put the book in their hand, and then say that verse. With full conviction and enthusiasm, looking him right in the eyes. Not like, you know, like that, but like this. With full confidence and this knowledge is the king of education, with full enthusiasm, look him right in the eyes and say it. You see, and you'll be amazed. The books will go out like crazy. They'll just be going out like crazy. Everybody be taking these books. You just have to be enthusiastic, and you can convince everybody in this whole country to take these books, even the Muslims and the Christians, everyone. We have to revolutionize this country. I heard that Prabhupada said this could be the first Krishna conscious country in the world. Yeah. So now you're not going to do it if you don't distribute books. This dream about this becoming the first Krishna conscious country in the world, you have to actually make it practical by hard work, preaching, getting out there in the heat, the cold, the rain, the sleet, whatever it is. Get out there and distribute these books to everyone. And you'll be amazed at how ecstatic you are at the end of the day. You come back from Sankirtan, a state of divine intoxication. I recently met with my dear godbrother Rameshwara Prabhu, who was formerly the head of the BBT in LA back in the old days when book distribution took off like a rocket. He told me the story about how the Christmas marathon began. There was no Christmas marathon, or now they didn't rename it the Prabhupada marathon. There was no Christmas marathon in the beginning, but it was the Christmas season, and he was out at a parking lot, and he noticed, wow, these people are giving donations like anything. It's amazing. So he said, "Let me stay out a little longer." And he, "Let me stay out a little longer." He's saying, "Well, I better go back to the temple now because everybody be waiting in the Prasadam room, you know, because he's the leader, you know. I better go back now because everybody be waiting there. I don't want to keep them up too late, you know. So I better go back now." So he went back, and nobody had even come back yet. He was the first one back. Everybody else was out still distributing. And he said, "What am I doing? I'm here. I came back early. Everybody else is still distributing." Because there was no plan to stay out late, but everybody, by the arrangement of Krishna, every devotee in every place was getting this incredible experience of the books going out like never seen it happen before. And they go, wow. So that's how the Christmas marathon began. It just happened spontaneously. Every distributor was having the similar experience how this time of the year was very powerful for distributing books. And that's how it all started, the Christmas marathon. Okay, so that's the end of our questions. We'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His Grace Thakur Shindasadkari Prabhu Ki
Jai.